You're listening to Agriculture Today. We're glad to have you aboard. At least some of the fervor over the decision by Britain to leave the European Union just a few days back has settled down, but it's still a big issue on the world financial and trade stage. We wanted to get some perspectives on what this means for the U.S. agricultural sector in particular, as we visit now with an agricultural economist at K-State who happened to be in Europe at the time of the announcement of the Brexit vote. Vincent Amanor-Boadu is with us once again. Vincent, before we talk specifically about what this will eventually mean for our trade abilities here in the U.S., agriculturally and otherwise, as you viewed the Brexit, what happened?
Well, I think to put it really simply, because it is a complex thing, but to put it simply, the British people were given the option to vote on whether the United Kingdom remained part of the European Union. As you know, the European Union has 28 countries as members. And now with the decision that Britain has taken, that number comes down to 27. So the vote was whether or not they stayed part of the European Union or they left the European Union. Mm. The important thing to note, though, is that Britain has really never been completely involved in the European Union. I mean, they have kept their own currency, so they never converted to the euros. They kept their pound sterling. They see themselves as sitting on an island and not on the continent. And the interesting thing that also came out in this vote was the fact that this is the third time that there's been some form of referendum asking the British people if they want to be part of this continent or continental activity. And this is the first time that they've succeeded in saying no.
As you understand it and view it, what was the turning point or what was the primary issue that led to this vote?
Well, the main conversation that comes out is one about immigration, that the UK felt they had lost control over their immigration policy, that Europe was too lenient on letting people in. Europe will tell you a very different story and say that, you know, they are very careful about who they let in, and that they see the refugee crisis, which became the culmination of this, as a necessary activity that they had to deal with, that you just couldn't turn people out when they had nowhere to go. And somehow that played into the hands of different people in the UK in a way that, you know, created almost a xenophobic outcome.
So it really had more to do with immigration issues than it ever did with financial or trade issues.
I really don't think, Eric, that both sides, both those who wanted to stay in Europe and those who wanted to exit Europe, thought through the whole conversation deep enough to recognize that it was a more complex problem that had an economic implication. They were all focused on just, you know, seeing on television, you know, people coming in and all that. And that became almost the focal point for the whole campaign without thinking about the economic implications. And whenever those came up, the response of the politicians was everything will be the same. No problem. The banks will be here. You know, the financial system, we already have the pound sterling. So nothing is going to change on that front. But nobody thought about the potential for the bullwhip effect that we are seeing.
I want to ask before we move any further, you were in Germany and France at the time of the vote. Did to the rest of the European Union this decision come as a surprise?
It was a surprise. It was a big surprise at the EU because, I mean, the French president and the German chancellor were probably, you know, very shocked. But at the same time, from the television interviews that they did, they were also trying to keep things under control. The morning after the vote, the French president basically said, we are going to live with what the British have decided because that is what democracy is about. And the German chancellor then came up and said, we have to treat the Brits kindly. Okay, so don't let's punish them for the decision that they have made. So immediately,
apparently, you know, the negotiation had started. On one news report, the chancellor's statement in the day after was very different after Mr. Cameron met with them this past week. For the first time in 40-something years, the EU met and they kicked Britain out. And the argument for some Brits were, we are still members of the union until we tell them when. And the union is saying, no, we are going to discuss our future and you are not part of it.
Well, once the announcement came out, the financial sector, not only in Europe, but across the world, went into a frenzy, a whirlwind of uncertainty. And some of that residue remains to this day to a certain extent. The upshot of this for trade, it's rather complicated, one presumes, anyway.
Well, there are a number of takes on that, and often I'll take the counter views on a lot of these things. I think what we saw the day after and the few days after in the financial markets could have happened on any day. I think it was basically a response to risk takers all of a sudden figuring out how they are going to deal with stuff. But the recovery that happened a few days after tells us that the markets are resilient to these things. Let's face it, the people of Great Britain are still consumers. You know, their standard of living is not changing overnight. Could there be economic implications over time? Possibly. But it could go either way. So I look at it and say, you know, if you run a model of the changes we saw in the market the day after, we could see the same result in the changes in the market for any event that happened. So the causality of saying that this is, the market is fickle. Mm-hmm.
The market doesn't like abrupt and seemingly monstrous change.
But as soon as that happens, you have opportunists on the other side who say, wait a minute, you know, Amazon price just dropped and I could pick it up before it comes back up. So it's one of those things that unless it is unlike what we saw in 2008, a financially driven problem where there are cash constraints and, you know, counterparty risks involved and all that, the market is very resilient to handle that. You know, there are talks about, you know, banks changing headquarters and moving people and all that from London and stuff. But those are just strategic moves. So I'm not particularly worried about the, you know, the long-term economic implications for the global marketplace. Because let's face it, the British economy, if it was Germany, that's a different story, right? But the British economy is not as big as that of Europe together.
So having said that, does that suggest that the upshot of this for U.S. agricultural trade may not be over the top, so to say?
I don't think we have anything to worry about as far as trade goes because, you know, look at it this way. When Britain was in the EU, well, they still are, but
technically at the moment.
As they exit the EU, a number of things happen with respect to trade. The rules of exporting now move from Brussels, the capital of the EU, to London. But those have always been in place. So it's not like we are going to get brand new phytosanitary regulations to guide because Britain is an independent signatory to the World Trade Organization. So they're going to abide by those rules. So I don't see any radical changes in trade. We are not changing the rules of international trade. This is not a WTO activity. We are changing how Britain engages with the rest of Europe.
Lastly, the negotiations between the U.S. and Europe on that trade deal will maybe after this shock wears off push forward?
I think it's going forward, and I think the president was right when he told the British people that UK will go to the bottom of the, to the end of the line if they leave. Because what is going to happen is we are going to proceed. I mean, the British are only a very small component of the European marketplace. We want the European marketplace. I mean, you know, as much as our friendship, our historical friendship with the UK remains and all that, from a pure economic strategic perspective, we will choose Europe because it has a larger population than
the UK if it comes to that. And so I see the trade negotiations going on. And when that is completed, we'll now have to turn around and tell the UK, this is the deal we have. You take it or you leave it. I mean, I can see our depending on what the deal is, I can see our negotiators playing that card very effectively and watching the UK come on board.
Vincent, the perspectives are always welcomed and appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Spending a few moments and talking this over with us.
Thank you.
Once again, on the decision by the United Kingdom to leave the European Union, the so-called Brexit, and some of its ramifications, Vincent Amanor-Boadu is an agricultural economist at Kansas State University, and he watches very closely international trade matters pertaining to agriculture. He's been our guest on this part of Agriculture Today.